The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders, the Australians.
Sono felice di servire il Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
Five new temples.
Ni kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
The history of the church in France. Apostle John Taylor was called on a mission to France in October 1849. The first congregation of six members was organized in April 1850. By 1853, nine branches had been formed with 337 members. After World War II, missionaries were once more sent into France and membership began to increase. In 1955, church membership grew to 1,500. France's first meeting house was completed in 1962. By 1974, 29 French members were serving as missionaries for the church. Membership by 1975 was 10,000, and in 1985 it was 16,500. Today, members total more than 30,000, many of them second, third, and fourth generation Latter-day Saints.
Welcome to Into All the World, where we discuss the growth of the church around the globe. I'm Tim Taggart, and joining me by phone are President Don Staley and Sister Cindy Staley, who are currently presiding over the France-Paris mission. President Staley served a mission in Belgium and France as a young man, and he and his wife both attended Brigham Young University. Prior to his call, President Staley had worked for the church for 35 years in several departments, including LDS Family Services, and also his 12 years as secretary for President Gordon B. Hinckley. President and Sister Staley have five children and 13 and a half grandchildren. Thanks for joining us, President and Sister Staley.
Oh, thank you. We're very, very happy to be here.
What a wonderful opportunity you've had serving there in the mission field, and I understand you're almost ready to bring it to a close.
The mission's coming to a close, but we're not almost ready to bring it to a close.
I know that feeling. You know, it's interesting. The challenge of going into a mission as a brand new mission president is such a challenge, but a lot of times people don't realize how hard it is to leave those missionaries and the saints and come home.
We're not thinking too much about that at this point, but we know it'll happen.
That's because you're a good missionary, and missionaries don't think about home until it's time.
That's right.
Talk a little bit about the preparation that you had for this calling with your experience with President Hinckley and working so intimately with him for so many years.
That's an interesting question. Ultimately, in working with President Hinckley, I was able to gain perhaps a more global vision of the church program. Of course, he traveled so very much. I think with him, I was able to visit about 80 countries, a million air miles, thousands and upon thousands of Latter-day Saints. Our sense of what missionary work was about was expanded to a large degree. Of course, President Hinckley always said that everything that he ever did subsequent to his mission was because of his mission. So I hearkened back to my experience as a young missionary. That provided the foundation and the original sense of what missionary work is about. With President Hinckley and other experiences, I've been able to gain a global vision, and that's all been applied now in these last nearly 3 years.
The mission in Paris must have a certain degree of an international flavor. It's such an international city. Talk a little bit about the mission and its nature and the people that you serve there.
Well, thank you. We, at this point, have two countries in the mission, both Belgium and France. And those countries, with long and wonderful history, are also now comprised of many immigrant citizens. And so we have a lot of Africans from French-speaking African countries. We have numerous Chinese people, especially students, that are here gaining their education and preparing to go back to China. We have immigrants and others from all over Europe and South America and all over the world who come to these wonderful countries to gain an education or to work. So we have a very, very diverse population with which we're privileged to work.
Are we having success among those people in sharing the gospel with them?
We are. We're right on the edge of having enough Chinese members in Paris, permanent Chinese members, to form a branch. That's our great hope. If our hopes are realized, that should come within the next few years. We have several wards in Paris that are comprised mostly of those of African origins. There are a number of Americans, of course, expatriates that live in Brussels and in Paris, and they participate very actively in wards in those cities. surprising number of British retirees who live in Western France very, very comfortably and to participate in the church in those areas.
It must be a marvelous opportunity in almost a worldwide sense for the missionaries who serve there and the people that they are able to teach.
Well, yes, we have missionaries that are assigned to Mandarin speaking and Spanish speaking. And we have missionaries that speak Portuguese who teach a number of people in that language, of course, French, and a lot of instruction is given in English. Again, a very diverse approach.
Talk a little bit about the missionaries that have been called to serve in your mission.
Well, it's a well-kept secret that we have the best missionaries in the world. We don't tell anybody that for fear that they'll feel less about their own. But nonetheless, we have tremendous missionaries here. Intelligent, faithful, well-prepared young people who show an incredible devotion. Most of them are Americans. We have probably 10% of our missionaries are native French missionaries. And we have missionaries from Italy and Austria and Switzerland, Germany, Scotland, England, Portugal, Taiwan, all over the world who come to serve.
Boy, what a marvelous thing that is, and to be able to get acquainted with each other and learn from each other while they're teaching the gospel.
It's really fun to watch missionaries who come in who have some rudimentary English. And by the time they leave, they serve with American companions. Most of them have become fluent in a form of adolescent English, kind of teenage English, but nonetheless, very, very good. That'll bless their lives forever.
Yeah. And I'm sure the leadership experience that's gained by the missionaries has a significant advantage for the church.
I think so. We see that each missionary, as early as possible, has an opportunity to serve first, of course, as a senior companion, then as a district leader, often, very often, as his own leader. They're leading other people and directing the work and blessing the lives of those over whom they have stewardship from the very beginning.
What a great blessing. How has the Preach My Gospel program helped the mission and the missionaries?
Well, Preach My Gospel has become the center of all that we do. We hope we are, and we try very hard to be a Preach My Gospel mission and Preach My Gospel missionaries. That means that we understand 8 things extremely well, and we practice them constantly and incorporate them into our lives. And those are what is referred to as the central or simplified curriculum of Preach My Gospel. That would be understanding the doctrine of Christ and the purpose of missionary work, understanding the role of the Holy Ghost in the conversion process, receiving revelation through prayer, church attendance, and reading the Book of Mormon, and then how to begin teaching, the process of introducing the gospel to people from the very beginning, and then how to teach people and not just lessons. So these missionaries are receiving an education in teaching and relating to other people, understanding the conversion process, which they then apply to their own lives in a powerful and wonderful way, and subsequently can teach that to other people and bring them, guide them, lead them along the path to conversion themselves. So we are totally immersed in Preach My Gospel.
I think it's such a blessing to the church to be able to have, first of all, the opportunity to preach the gospel as young missionaries and to learn those basic principles. But that influence seems to just permeate the church with the blessings of that experience.
Well, yes, it's a shared experience. We feel very, very strongly that the actions and the efforts of one individual reach out and affect the work of another individual in the mission, certainly. The behavior, the obedience, the faith of missionaries in the Bretagne region affects directly the success of the missionaries in the Champagne region. And if that happens in the mission, then I think that can surely be expanded ultimately like a shockwave, if you will, to touch the lives of members in all the world. The faith of members in Japan, the great work of the missionaries in Japan, really does impact our success. I think it's just one great family of effort and work and faith that in which we're all involved.
I think that's a great vision and really true. I'm Tim Taggart. You're listening to Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. And today we're discussing missionary work in France and Belgium with President Don Staley and Sister Cindy Staley. Those testimonies and experiences that are being gained by missionaries and shared by missionaries seem to be making a big difference in Europe right now. Talk a little bit about the things that are happening in Europe, in the church, and in your mission.
Well, of course, we see a tremendous work being done by our Europe Area Presidency. As I understand, this is the first time in the history of the Church that the Europe Area Presidency has been comprised of native Europeans. We have Elder Kopiszka, who's a German, and Elder Kosei, who is French, and Elder Teixeira, who is Portuguese. And these are incredibly inspired men who understand the culture and the people of Europe, and they have a great insight into how things function here and what's real and what will work. They have been able to instill a vision among all the people, and particularly in the missions, of the things that we can accomplish. Elder Teixeira calls it recently, he's spoken about it, he said this is a window of opportunity we have. We've just felt that something is happening. So in the last year or so, our baptisms, well, the number of baptisms per missionary has gone up between 50 and 60% in just 1 year. We have a much larger area to cover because our mission has been expanded in terms of boundaries, and we have many fewer missionaries, but a great many more baptisms. With Preach My Gospel, with the faith and vision of the missionaries, inspired leadership of the area presidency, things really are happening. And not just here, but all over Europe, as we understand.
And it's really the Spirit that makes the difference in their mission, isn't it?
It truly is. If they believe, then it will happen. And their ability to speak the language or be particularly articulate or polished in their approach is almost insignificant.
I'd love to have you share with us an experience or two about the missionaries, maybe some of the conversion experiences that they've seen themselves or the growth experiences that you've seen some of the missionaries that have been remarkable.
Well, I'd be happy to. In terms of growth, of course, we see the missionaries from the day they arrive until the day they leave, at least a good share of them. It's incredible. They arrive here frightened, tired, most of them faced with a rather severe culture shock. It doesn't take long until they begin to settle in and find the rhythm of missionary life, begin to develop a sense of their own capabilities, their own ability to receive guidance of the Spirit. Then they begin to hit their stride. And we watch them soon reporting miracles that they're seeing, challenges that they're overcoming. We see their growth in the language and in their ability to relate to other people, to get along with their companions. Pretty soon they're into leadership positions. They're seeing people come into the church, and their dreams and hopes in that regard are being realized. They go home with a maturity, a spiritual maturity, an emotional maturity that is just remarkable to watch. We have a young man who's just about to leave the mission. He'll be leaving in about another 5 weeks. He was a member of the church for 18 months, nearly 2 years, before he came on his mission. The only member in his family, and his understanding and knowledge of the church was basic, by all means, when he came on his mission. He bore a testimony this last week that had everybody in tears. It was a testimony of power and faith, a profound sense of his real conviction and his real conversion. That's what a mission does to young men and young women. In terms of their experience, as far as miracles go, if you want to call them that, and we certainly do all the time, again, at the direction and with the support of the area presidency, we teach spiritual planning and spiritual finding and spiritual teaching. So the missionaries often in their spiritual planning will receive impressions and promptings that guide the work that they're to do perhaps the next day. Those will be very interesting sometimes. We had a wonderful sister working in the small town of Caen, C-A-E-N, which is in the Normandy area of France. She and her companion were doing their spiritual planning, and she had the distinct impression that they should work the next day up near the university. And her companion said, well, that sounds wonderful, except for two things. Number one, we can't proselyte on the university campus. And number two, the university's closed and there's no one there. But she said, well, I feel strongly about it. So they went the next day up to near the university campus. They were careful not to proselyte on the campus, but really there was no one there. They lingered around for a half an hour or so and finally felt that they would give up and leave. Just as they were about to go, over a rise on the sidewalk just off of the campus property came a man, and they said, let's approach him. Maybe he's the one. They approached him and met Rudy. Rudy was a former investigator who had been lost somehow and had not seen the missionaries for quite some time. He was baptized 2 weeks later. Well, two dear sisters, in their spiritual planning, One felt that the next day they would meet a sister, a French woman, with curly brown hair. The other sister had the impression that they would meet a family that had a number of African children. And they felt that they should go to a particular area. And this got even more complicated or detailed. They felt that building number 6 in that area was maybe where they would have some success. So they went to the area the next day, went to building number 6, didn't know what name to or what button to push that would allow them to enter. They all have a number of doorbells, if you want to call them that, and the individual who answers has to buzz them in. But they chose one and introduced themselves, and the individual invited them up immediately. And they got up to the apartment, and there opened the door a French woman with brown curly hair who had a number of children running around in the apartment who were of African origin. I think her husband was African, and she was a less active member of the church who hadn't seen members of the church for quite some time. And with their planning and the impressions of the Spirit, they were able to find her and bring the gospel back to her. Those things happen constantly.
The Lord knows his sheep, doesn't he?
And we could go on and on and on about such things as they occur on a daily basis.
As missionaries, that opportunity to tune in, to be instruments in the hands of the Lord to accomplish his work. And that's really what happens, isn't it?
As they exercise their faith, the Lord is more than willing to respond.
One of the most amazing miracles that we see is the missionaries. We see these fine young men and women who perhaps go into the MTC not speaking English or French and come away 2 months later speaking both. It's just amazing what they accomplish. And then to see the depth of their testimony in the short time they spend here, they are way beyond their years in spiritual strength and in wisdom.
And that's really nothing short of miraculous.
You're absolutely right. We see it all the time, but we will never just take it for granted. One of the things that I have appreciated so much in this call is that you can give all that you can, but you are fed back so much. And a lot of it comes from the Spirit, the Lord's hand in this missionary work, and especially in the missionaries. And the power and strength and light and spirituality that you see coming into their lives that is such a blessing to us as well. We had two wonderful sister missionaries that were contacting people on a bus one day. The one sister missionary talked to a lady and gave her a pass-along card and wanted to invite her to church, and the lady told her, well, I'm leaving tomorrow morning to go to the United States, and I will be there for the summer, so I probably will not be able to come to church, but thanks anyway. But our sister missionary gave her a pass-along card in spite of that and said, when you're in the United States, look up the church. Here is the website, and you should really try to attend church and see what you think. Well, she left the bus that day thinking that nothing would ever come of that experience. But, 6 or 8 months later, as a missionary, she was assigned to the same little city. And, of course, when missionaries are new into a ward, they ask them to bear their testimony on Sunday. So she was bearing her testimony on Sunday in this same city that she had worked in so many months before. And a lady in the audience was just beaming at her, smiling from ear to ear. And she thought, wow, she's really happy to see me, isn't she? She had no idea who the woman was. After the meeting, the lady came up to her and gave her a huge hug, a bear hug, and said, you don't remember me, do you? And she said, well, give me a clue. And the lady said, you gave me a pass-along card on the bus several months ago, and I did look up the church in the United States when I was there, and I am now a member of the church, thanks to you. These things happen if we are willing to put forth just a little effort, and these missionaries are willing to do that and more.
And I bet you've seen so many changes in the lives of the missionaries and so many changes in the lives of individuals within your mission. It's been a wonderful experience.
It truly has. it truly has been.
What's made the biggest impression as you've just been tossed into this work? You know, it's such a baptism of fire coming in, and then only a couple of years later, and you're getting ready to go home and filled with so many experiences. Just what impressions have you had with this experience?
This has been the most incredible experience I've ever had in my life. Probably one of the most challenging calls, but the most fulfilling. I have been extremely impressed with the strength of the youth in our church today. We have nothing to worry about as far as the future of our church if you look to the young people, the leaders of tomorrow. And that may sound very trite, but it's the absolute truth. I have been so impressed by the spiritual strength of the young people. I also have been so impressed with the people in our mission, the members of the church that have been so strong and had to overcome challenges that I didn't have growing up in the church. But they have faith and they have strength and diligence, and they devote themselves to our Savior Jesus Christ, and nothing can stop them. We have many 4 or 5 generation families in the church here now, and they are just stalwarts, as well as the new converts. It's just, that has been a wonderful thing to see.
You've got a great companion.
Oh my, oh my. She's by far the better half.
Do you know, it's so marvelous, the experience you must be having being able to serve together for a change in a marvelous church calling like this.
It truly is. In our life before we served as full-time missionaries, of course, I went to work in the morning and Sister Staley cared for things at home and had a lot more involvement even with the family or the children than I did because of my busy schedule. We didn't live separate lives, but surely our lives were not intertwined as they are in this situation. So we're put together 24/7, overnight. We had to do what anybody would have to do, almost relearn our relationship. And I can tell you that when I'm trying to decide what I've loved the most in this missionary experience, is it the members? Is it the missionaries? Is it the new converts? Is it the relationship that I've rekindled in a way or redeveloped with my wife? I've got to tell you that that most of the time comes out on top. The privilege we've had of spending this time together and sharing this calling has been perhaps the highlight of our experience.
And isn't it marvelously similar to the experience that missionaries have as they discover the power of companionship and the principle the Lord has taught and practices in the mission?
Yes, absolutely. They learn very, very quickly that they have to be able to have a unified relationship with their companion. They can't teach, they can't plan, they can't really do anything unless they feel a sense of unity. And Sister Staley and I have been very, very much blessed to have a tremendous sense of oneness in our effort here as we've shared the difficult times and the exhilarating times and the challenging times, and sometimes just a few hours driving in the car together, which we have very rarely had before this, and it's just been a marvelous thing.
We're speaking with President Don and Cindy Staley, who are currently presiding over the France-Paris mission. This is an Into All the World on the Mormon Channel, and I'm Tim Taggart. President, as you look at the work that's going on within your mission, what's been the impact of the internet and the web in the work?
Well, the internet has really impacted everything in the world, and missionary work is no exception to that whatsoever. We have a wonderful website that is a French-speaking dedicated website. There is a lot of activity on that website. The missionaries, of course, receive referrals from that very, very frequently, and those can be very productive. Probably the biggest impact on our work that comes from the website is the access to information that our investigators have. They go right from their first contact, many of them at least, go right from their first contact with the missionaries to a website, to the internet, to get whatever information they can. Sometimes that's positive and sometimes it's negative. Sometimes it's accurate and sometimes it's not. But the missionaries then have to be prepared to answer and to deal with those questions that people have that they have derived from their internet searches. So yes, it has a tremendous impact, both positive and sometimes not so positive, but always present.
What are some of the special challenges that you have in the mission, culturally and otherwise, with investigators becoming members of the church?
From my perspective, and as I understand it, the French Revolution was not just a revolution against the monarchy, but against other institutions which were somewhat oppressive. And one of those, at least from the perspective of those revolutionaries, was the church and religion in general. And so from that point on, the French have often had a sense of not wanting to be under the control of any kind of a religious institution. And so that is almost a part of their culture now, a very secular government, a secular culture, a secular society that does not necessarily need, from their perspective, to have a religion and to have religion in their lives. It doesn't mean they're not a believing people, but institutional religion is something that has become a bit of an anathema to many. So to convince them that now they need to participate fully and have an institutional religion become the center of their lives can be quite a challenge for some. That is something that's difficult for many to overcome.
Is there a lot of difference between the different areas of your mission and how the church is perceived and received?
I don't think there's a tremendous amount of difference because the networks of communication are such that everybody receives about the same thing. There might be some minor differences between areas, but generally speaking, people have much the same perspective. And of course, the young people, as they've grown up in the areas, the outlying areas around the big cities, ultimately receive their education in the city and often move to the city in order to find employment. So I think these days, the understanding of people is pretty much the same wherever we go.
President, with your experience working so closely with the Living Prophets, so many of our young people have grown up through their young lives with President Hinckley as the president of the church and now with our dynamic prophet, President Monson. And you've had such an opportunity of being close to them. What kind of attributes do you think young people ought to develop that has been shown by the prophets and the kind of things that has made such a difference in their lives? What do you think our young people ought to think about and use in their lives from those examples?
I believe that when our young people look at those presidents of the church who have gone before, and of course our current president, President Monson, and also at the members of the Quorum of the Twelve, the attributes that they can derive from them, which can be applied directly into the lives of our young people, are some such as these. Get all the education you can. Never stop learning. Educate your mind, educate your hands, and never throughout your whole life stop learning. Serve wherever you possibly can. Be aware of and look for opportunities to serve, and they will be presented to you. When the Lord knows that you're willing to serve Him, He will give you the opportunities to do so, and you'll be able to make a huge difference in the lives of individuals and groups of people. Always be willing to listen to the impressions of the Spirit, though the outcome may be undetermined, and it may seem that the impression that you're receiving is off of what you would normally do. Respond to it to the degree that you can tell that it comes from the Lord, and then fully devote yourself. Follow the impressions that come from the Spirit and react to them quickly, and you'll find, again, that the Lord will continue to use you. I think full devotion to the kingdom of God is an absolute characteristic of these brethren. They think of nothing but serving their Lord and Master and Savior Jesus Christ. They've given all of their lives to that. And they realize, and I think we can know ourselves, that you can still have a normal life and be a devoted disciple of Jesus Christ. You can still have fun, you can still have a normal occupation, and still be a disciple of Jesus Christ, fully devoted to that which He would have us do.
That's a great answer. Well, we've enjoyed so much the opportunity to visit this morning and to share your testimony and feeling about your calling and your wonderful missionaries and the members that you're serving. Perhaps we could conclude, President, if you'd share your testimony with us, and then we'd love to have your wife share her testimony. And then, if you wouldn't mind, we'll finish up with you sharing your testimony in the mission language, if you would.
Oh, sure. Happy to do it. Well, it's been a great pleasure for us to be with you this morning, and we have so enjoyed our privilege of serving here. Without any question, I know that we have a loving Heavenly Father. He lives, and he watches over us, each one. He's aware of us and has a plan for us. It's an individual plan, one which is tailored to our capabilities and our desires and to his desires for us. I know that we have a loving Savior in Jesus Christ. He also is aware of us, and it's his blessing which allows us to have the possibility of returning back to our Heavenly Father. The atonement of Jesus Christ is central to all that we do, all that we think, and all that we are. I personally am so grateful for my Savior, Jesus Christ, my personal and individual Savior, whose love I feel and so appreciate. I'm grateful for the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Ghost. I know that He is real, that His influence is real, and that through His inspiration we can know all things. And ultimately, wonderfully, we never need to make a big mistake if we follow the Spirit, and we'll do many things that are right and good if we do so. I know that Joseph Smith was and is a prophet of God, and that we're led by prophets and apostles today. Great men who have devoted their lives, been chosen and singled out by our Savior Himself to stand as special witnesses of Him in all the world. And it's our privilege to act under their authority to bear our witness also in these various places of the world. I know that the Church is true. I know that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God, and I love it with all my heart. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I am always thankful for the opportunity to bear my testimony. My testimony is my most valuable possession and has brought me everything good in my life. I am so grateful to say that, without a doubt, I know that our Heavenly Father loves us with a perfect love, and that He presented this wonderful plan of happiness to us that allows us to learn and grow and repent and hopefully return and live with Him one day. We can all win that prize. I am so thankful for my Savior Jesus Christ. I know this is His church restored to the earth today, and that it is the same church that He brought to the earth when He walked the earth and taught how to live and be happy, and then paid the price for us to return and live with our Father in heaven again one day. I know He loves us and knows us individually and can make us happier than we could ever make ourselves. If we just submit our will to Him, we will know true joy, not just later, but right now in our lives today. I know that Joseph Smith is a prophet that was called to restore the church to the earth in this latter day, and that he was used as an instrument to translate the Book of Mormon, which is the Word of God. And there is a power and strength in those scriptures that will bless us if we but read them daily. I am so thankful for the gospel and thankful to know that we have a living prophet on the earth today. Through this testimony, everything good in my life has come to me. My wonderful husband, my family, all that is good is because of my faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Alors, mes chers frères et sœurs, j'aimerais bien vous rendre mon témoignage personnel de la véracité des choses que nous enseignons en tant que missionnaires. Je sais que Dieu vit. Je sais qu'il est notre Père céleste, qu'il nous aime. Je sais que Jésus est le Christ. Et je sais qu'il est venu sur la terre pour accomplir son sacrifice expiatoire afin que nous puissions retourner vivre éternellement avec notre Père céleste. Je sais que Joseph Smith était un prophète de Dieu, qu'il a rétabli l'Église et qu'il a traduit le livre de Mormon, et que ce livre saint, ce livre sacré, contient la parole de Dieu. Je sais de tout mon cœur que ces choses sont vraies, et je le dis au nom de Jésus-Christ. Amen.
Amen. I'm Tim Taggart. Thanks for joining us for Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. For more information on this program, visit us online at radio.lds.org. And to share your story with the Mormon Channel, email us at radio@ldschurch.org. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Into All the World.